So what happens now, we say, and this is where if you look at Anishinaabe way of being of our culture, many of our rituals, our teachings, our understandings, our ceremonies, they address trauma of some sort, because your first trauma is your birth. Physiologically, you're compressed, you're squeezed, you come from this beautiful warm place surrounded by water, and your mother's heartbeat is all around you, and then you're delivered into this harsh environment. So we say that's a really traumatic experience for you as a newborn. So much so, in this teaching, we say that's where you forget almost everything that you knew. This is the part where you forget, or you start to lose that connection with that great knowledge that you had when you saw with the Creator. But we say you're born with knowledge. You're not born empty-headed. We say that about our young people, our newborns even, that they came here with a knowledge, they came here with a purpose. So what may happen for our young people at that time is that in the old times, we would have teachings. Even our infants would hear teachings the same way as an adult. We didn't make our teachings childlike. We spoke to them like they were adults, because we didn't want to insult the intelligence of their spirit. Again, when I do this talk to young people, I find that this is a very empowering concept to them, that they have knowledge, that they're not empty slates, that they're not in, empty. So what happens here at birth, the first thing that happens to you in this traumatic birth you've just been through, there are things that happen to you, and these can be reflected in how we deal with someone's trauma as they go through life. First thing that happens to that little baby is they're given food, they're nurtured. The next thing that happens is they're wrapped in swaddling clothes, or they're put in, they're warmed up through that. The next thing that happens to them is they're sheltered, they're kept out of that environment. And then the fourth thing that happens to them is they're given affection. So in a really simple way, when someone is undergoing some recent trauma, that's what we how we can comfort them, is make sure they eat, make sure they're covered up in a blanket, make sure they're out of the harsh elements, and make sure they have affection. So over simplistically, that's how we can address a trauma of some kind, because very early on, that's our first trauma, is birth. So what happens now to these young people in this first part of life, as children, Abinoji, they call that in English the good life. Everything is good for them. They don't need to know how to speak. They just say weh, and they're given food. They just need to say weh, and they're wrapped in warm clothes. They just say weh, and they're sheltered, and they say weh, and they're given affection. They don't even have to know how to ask for it. They receive it. That's why they call it the good life. Now, back when we were more civilized and we lived in our old culture, these young people were left just to experience life through play, through experimentation. They were left alone to play, to climb, to push, to run, to be rough and tumble is what they were done. The responsibility of the older people around them now was to observe them, because through observing their behavior, we would gain insight as to how to nurture them into their life purpose. The other thing that happened back in the day was very soon, not too long after their birth, their spirit name was announced. Maybe an old person, a grandparent or an auntie or an uncle, dreamed about this one before they were born. So not too long after their birth, this old one would talk to their parents about this dream, and then they would make ready to have the naming ceremony. And then this young one, the village creation, would hear this young one's spirit name for the first time. And we understand in our culture that very often your spirit name, you're connected to people with similar spirit names, almost like a society of names. If you're named after the cedar, if you're named after the tobacco, then you could say you belong to a society of medicine names. If you're named after an animal, you could belong to a society of animal names. If you're named after things in the sky world, you belong to a society of sky names. So your connection of your spirit name to other spirit names, you belong to a group of people who are older than you, who, because they have a similar name to you, have an idea of how to nurture you into adulthood. So this part of your life is all about experimentation, playing. And my mother used to say, back in the day when children were left like this, we couldn't tell them apart because they dressed the same, they looked the same, and principally they acted the same. She said one of the ways you could see who they were was through observation. Little boys would come in to eat, they'd wash their hands really fast. And little girls would be a little more deliberate, is how they would wash their hands. So the focus then was on the adults to observe the children and gain insight as to how to help the children grow up. This one, the way we remember it. And the children at this time weren't really expected to be in a sex role stereotype at that time. You might have a little girl who wants to follow the hunters and act like a hunter. That's her choice. That's her experimentation. Or you might have a little boy who wants to nurture babies or play with the children that way. That would be his choice. They weren't at that young age, you know, constricted or confined into being a boy or a girl. It was through their actions and observation of who they were, understanding that their spirit and their life purpose was more important as to why they were here in this creation. And it was incumbent upon the adults to take the time to observe that and then gain insight as to how they would be nurtured into adulthood. So the good life generally lasts from birth to puberty. Okay? In the old days, that's the way it is. Nowadays, when we institutionalize our children, put them in school, that shortens up that good life, because institutions like school and other things, they remove the child from being a natural being where they can run, laugh, play, and have their emotions and be who they are at that time.